I'd invite you to turn with me for a moment to chapter 1 again of the Gospel of Luke, and looking at what's called the Magnificat, which comes from the Latin, of course, meaning magnify, the first words of Mary's song, as it's called. And we'll look together at these verses 46 to 56. It's not as long as it might sound. She says, "My soul glorifies," or magnifies, is one of the translations, perhaps the most accurate, "the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost being and thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our forefathers." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. It's just an interesting thing by way of entering. If she came and married Elizabeth 6 months, and she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months, how many months along do you think Elizabeth was? She was right at the ninth month, right? Right before she gave birth to John, whom we call the baptizer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we ponder on your word, we ask you would speak to us. May the meditations of our hearts, the words of my lips, be pleasing unto you. Amen. Mary said, "I am your servant, Lord." Have you ever had guests coming to your home? Maybe some of you have guests you're thinking about coming or have already come to your home right now. Perhaps family you haven't seen in a while. The people of Israel, think about this, had gone a long time without hearing from God. That is nearly 300 to 400 years between the last of the prophets and this linchpin, as it's been called, of history, of which Mary sings and the prophets foretold the birth of their Savior. So what do you do when guests are coming? What I heard too. Prepare the house. Is that what you said back there? Get the house ready. Get things in order. Tidy up. Decorate. Man, my house looks pitiful next to some of my neighbors' houses. But Robin went out and bought two different colored lights and put them in. At least we'll look that merry. And now we've got a tree up finally and replaced all the lights that were broken So at least we've got that. And so you put clean sheets on the beds if they're going to stay overnight, right? You get the larders full of food. You know, making favorite dishes and desserts. I got a picture from my son last night on our WhatsApp account just with them that shows my granddaughter, their eldest, is making kiffles. Who knows kiffles? Yeah, okay, a large bunch of you. Well, I love kiffles. But my son, I think he's our middle child, and I think he loves them even more. We caught him one Christmas season back in my parents' pantry, and he had powdered sugar all over his face, you know, a dead giveaway. And when we looked, he had eaten almost the entire box of kiffles. We were ready to kill him. But of course, we had a lot of those peanut butter cookies with the Hershey Kiss in them. That's my favorite, as that one. You might even fix that leaky toilet or stopped up shower drain that you've been putting off. That's what I did yesterday. I started it like a week ago and discovered that I had bought the wrong thing, the wrong, what do you call that, flapper? So I had to take it back and like look at the 100,000 other flappers that were there and finally make a choice as to which one might work. And I think it's working so far. And then what do? You wait. You wait in anticipation of their arrival. We got everything done. Right in the middle of my, I thought my son loves chocolate chip cookies, so I got the idea I'll make a double batch of chocolate chip cookies. And right in the middle of that, I got a call from someone saying a person was in the hospital. And so I just quickly finished up that part, threw it. No, I didn't throw it. I put it in the garage where it would cool. And maybe I'm hoping at least not be flat like most of my chocolate chip cookies are. And went off to see the person in the hospital. Some things will interrupt those best laid plans that we have, won't they? But the anticipation of, you know, your loved ones, people's arrival, your guests is still always there. And I, as we saw the headlights of my son's truck come up, we ran out to meet him and welcome him. This is a lot like what Israel was anticipating at the time of this song of Mary's. She was now her cousin. It's not exactly sure that the child, John the Baptist, was really her cousin. Most of the translations say it just like here in the first chapter, that she was a relative, Elizabeth was. And verse 58, it says, her relatives had heard that the Lord was shown and she was going to visit her relative. But whether a cousin or a second cousin or some other type of relation. She was a relative of Mary's. Elizabeth was. And so they all were anticipating and looking forward to what God was about to do. But the wait and the hope for the arrival at last, and all that anticipation is more than just a slogan from an outdated ketchup commercial, isn't it? Anticipation is the theme of Advent. The anticipation of the coming Messiah. Come in the flesh to us once and born long ago by the Virgin Mary. The song here as we look at it is all about the fulfillment of the desire of Israel for deliverance. They were, as the scriptures tell us, under the yoke of Roman captivity and had been under the yoke of the Greeks before. Those generals of Alexander the Great, who he left in charge of the region of Palestine, it had been centuries before they had been a freed people. But Mary's song points us to more, doesn't it, than freedom from a political overseers. Mary's song, as much as Mary even may not have known it, Mary's song points to that which is eternal and the birth of the Messiah. The Messiah did not come. Jesus did not come as those who had awaited it had expected. He didn't come with the sword in hand. But rather, he came with love at Christmas. As the scripture says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord," Mary said, "and let it be according to your word, for nothing is impossible with God." In all things, whatever the personal cost to her, Mary was completely open to God working out His plan. Not her plan, not our plan, but God's plan through her. The plan of salvation. A salvation that was so much more than a temporal salvation, a political salvation. I mean, look at the mess that our politics today are in. I mean, I've heard that families can't even get together around this time of year, Thanksgiving time. There's been whole articles about how to manage the holidays with your families that I've read in the Wall Street Journal and heard on National Public Radio. Because we've become so polarized. I saw a guy who said, you know, I'm a Democrat. Raised a Democrat, always will be a Democrat, and I can't understand what happened to my son. He's a Republican, of all things. Now, the Messiah came not for division into parties, but for the unity that is the body of Christ, the church. We are, brothers and sisters, as the scripture says in Romans, the new Israel, the hope of all the ages. The church is the place where everyone can gather together, regardless of our political views, regardless of how our families are getting along. The church is the place where Mary's song is fulfilled. He has performed mighty deeds. His mercy extends to those who fear Him. Yes, from generation to generation. It's not about party. It's not about politics. It's about the fear of the Lord above all else. He's performed mighty deeds and scattered the proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down all the rulers of this world from their thrones, but has lifted up those who are willing to be humble. He's filled the hungry with good things. But those who are rich in their own minds have sent them away empty. He's helped the servant Israel. You know, that word servant is one that can be readily translated slave. That's whom we are. Slaves to the Lord. He sent us and helped us, remembering to be merciful to us. For our Father is Father Abraham, and His descendants we are forever. So as we come shortly to celebrate the birth of our Son, perhaps these words of Martin Luther's are worth remembering. Luther saw two aspects to Jesus' birth. Two aspects to the Messiah's birth. Roland Baton records, and apparently Luther, as he spoke about this, must have preached like Wesley, his what's called standard sermons. He preached over and over and over again, honed them down. And so we have a record of these, what are they? Some 72, I think it is, standard sermons. Luther preached upon the incarnation on Christmas hundreds of times. But his basic theme was this, that the great miracle that fills anyone who dwells upon the birth and death of Jesus. Remember, they're both tied together. Jesus' birth at Christmas, His death at Easter. There wouldn't be one without the other. The great miracle is the uncontrollable wonder that when God created the world and bestowed every benefit upon humankind, we still rebelled against Him. But instead of wiping out the human race, what did God do? But send His only begotten Son to die for the redemption of us all. This transcends, brothers and sisters, all reason, doesn't it? If it's you or I, there's no way we'd think that worthy to do. but because of God's great love for each one of us, of you and of me, He sent His Son while we were yet sinners to be born, to die. And there's another wonder too, Luther noted. And that is that the great characters invite them there. We wouldn't be here had not some great character invited us to the foot of the cross. To the babe born in a manger, grown to a man, and died for us. The greatest miracle is the miracle of faith. Who would believe that there would be a God who would send His Son to die for us? There's no other religion, no other faith on earth that proclaims this as the center, the linchpin of its faith. But we do. The miracle of faith. Heavenly Father, as we approach this evening's services to celebrate the birth of our Savior, we know that that birth points inexorably to His death, the atoning death of Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and buried for the sake of all who believe in the saving power of the cross. I magnify You, O Lord. I magnify You with Mary, for You have done great things. Amen.